Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Thanksgiving edition of the Passion Podcast. If you're in the United States of America, we know we have a worldwide audience. Hundreds of people listen to this. Several hundred people listen to this podcast, Brad. And dozens of them are outside the United States. And so I know a lot of people aren't celebrating Thanksgiving this week. That's when Americans are grateful that we're not Brits. And that's just a little Matt Redman joke. So if he's not listening, please pass that on to him if you know him. But we celebrate that God brought us to this land, that America, our nation began, and we always take time to remember our heritage and where we came from.
And somehow turkey is always
involved.
Turkey's
in the middle of it. Turkeys do not love Thanksgiving. But we celebrate. In fact, I tell you, I'm a little bit conflicted because we are not frying a turkey today.
Man, that's not a good way to start the Passion Podcast, because that is a tradition around here that Louis will walk through. It doesn't happen every year, but walk through the steps, even fry a turkey while recording the podcast.
Absolutely, because there are critical components to frying a turkey. You can burn your house down pretty quick, and you can ruin a Thanksgiving meal very quickly as well. But it's not that complicated. I encourage you to try it. Go online, get the recipe, go to Home Depot, get a turkey fryer. Don't be intimidated by this. Do not do it indoors.
Okay.
But don't be intimidated by it. And once you fry a turkey, that's it. You know, it's a done deal right then and right there, because fried turkey is the best thing you've ever had in your life.
So you're saying better than smoked baked turkeys?
It's up on that smoked turkey. I still am a fan of baked turkeys, but if I had to pick, hands down, all the time, fried turkey.
Man, I wish I've had a fried turkey before. I've actually never been around for you to fry a turkey.
Oh, Lord, we just lift Brad up to you right now and just ask you to comfort him and come around him with compassion.
Wow, it's been tough. It's been tough.
Amazing.
I feel neglected.
Okay, I'm frying a turkey. What's going to happen? We're going to do it. We'll do it here at Passion City Church.
Okay.
In the studio.
I'm glad this is being recorded.
This place is fireproof. Yeah, we'll do it. It'll be amazing. Incredible. Anyway, we're so glad you guys are with us today. Hope you have an incredible Thanksgiving. We always say this, but for some people, I mean, this is the money. A lot of college students, I mean, they've been looking forward to this day because it means I'm packing up the car, I'm driving home, mom, grandma, aunts, they're all cooking. Dad's cooking. I don't know who cooks at your house. And we are going to eat turkey. We're going to watch football. We're going to slip into a, you know, catatonic state on the sofa. We're going to wake up and eat some more turkey. And this is going to be the greatest weekend of all. But others of you are like, man, I've got to go home. And family's crazy right now. The house is crazy right now. Circumstances are crazy right now. And so whether it's the joy or the sorrow of Thanksgiving, Jesus is in it all. And we just hope that you have an incredible break if you have a break, and that you have a great celebration remembering your family, your friends, those that you love.
And congratulations to the college students, because you can taste the end of the semester.
Yeah, but finals are coming.
I know, but it's so
finals
close to being done.
Oh, but finals are coming. I got through midterms, but finals are coming.
Projects, don't think about it right now.
You know, projects probably, they all come right in that Thanksgiving week.
People just turned off the podcast when they heard you saying
like,
the finals are coming.
I don't want to hear that. Anyway, we're glad you're here. We're coming up on Passion 2016. We say that every time, but we just know a lot of you may have just joined us, just on-ramping to the Passion Podcast. Passion 2016, January 2nd through the 4th, Houston, Atlanta, three arenas, two cities, one gathering, no overflow, by the way, and it's going to be pretty incredible. And for people who are thinking about registering, Brad, they've got to do it right now.
Yes, because they'll save money. There's still room. There won't necessarily always be room, but if you sign up this week before the price jumps, you'll save money. And then because you're listening to the podcast, just want to give you a heads up that there is actually a special code
All right.
In honor of Thanksgiving. So on Thanksgiving Day, the special code is simple, is Thanksgiving, and that's going to give you $20 off.
Hello.
For your registration.
So when I'm registering, I get down to the bottom somewhere, and then it's going to ask me, do you have a special code? And I'm going to type in the word Thanksgiving.
Simple.
And miraculously, my total is going to be reduced by 20 bucks.
But it's only good for that day.
Only on Thanksgiving Day.
Be smart. You're maybe already home with your family. Go ahead and mention that you want to go to a Jesus gathering. And if you bought your ticket today, you would save some money. And then claim your spot.
And, you know, people are going to these crazy midnight, you know, sales, and they're going to go buy some stuff. And I don't know, maybe the best thing to do on Thanksgiving is just to sleep in and register for Passion. and get $20 off.
Save
money. I got a deal. So in effect, if you register before December 1st and you use the code, you're saving $30 off of your Passion registration just by registering early and by using the code. So make sure you take advantage of that. We want you to be there. John Piper speaking this year. Christine Kane. Tsunamis coming through the place.
Powerhouse.
Myself, Ravi Zacharias, and also our friend Levi Lesko.
Yeah.
Pastor from Montana, the author of a new book, is going to be in one of our sessions. I'm going to be able to do an interview with Levi, and I think it's going to be a game changer for people. A lot of people don't know Levi. A lot of people do, but excited that he's joining us also for Passion 2016.
Yeah, his new book is so powerful, and the story his family, what they've been walking through. So you're not going to want to miss out on that. South Africa's coming quick. Just after the Passion 2016, we'll be back in Cape Town Stadium, Loftus Stadium on 12 and 13 of Feb. So for all you people out there in South Africa or the southern part of Africa, we would love for you to join us for those stadium events. We love that country.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people can't make it to Houston. They can't make it to Atlanta, but it's actually reasonable for them to think they could make it to South Africa. It's a lot closer for some people in the world than making it all the way here. But we'd love to see you there. Tickets are available.
Yep.
CompuTicket.
Yep.
Anywhere in South Africa. So that's the best way to get a ticket. You can get information on our website, passionconferences.com. But we've got a really cool podcast today. I mean, Crowder has been making some of these wacky phone calls. And I think it'd be great if he just, you know, let's see who we can get on the phone today. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to touch the lives of people, trying to be interactive, Brad. We're trying to, you know, connect to our audience out there. So let's welcome David Crowder. Let's see who we can reach today.
Is this Brad Jones from Passion?
Brad Jones?
Hey, this is David Crowder. I'm also with Passion Conferences. I'm sorry to call you after work hours. Is this okay time to talk?
I think I can make it work. You said David who?
Crowder. I play with Chris Tomlin.
Oh, man, I love
Chris
that
Tomlin.
Guy. I'm not sure who
yeah.
you are, but I love Tomlin.
No, I've sung on stage with him 4 times. You've probably
oh.
seen me there.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm in the office, and I'm trying to, I don't know, I'm suspecting, do you run Passion Conferences? Because you're kind of the host, and so it seems like you kind of run the whole, you run the whole thing, so I'm guessing that I'm probably doing what you asked me to do, so I'm probably doing what you had instructed me to do, and it's just, I'm going through everyone who's ever been to Passion Conferences, it's just doing like a survey. Just to help us do our job better. I guess it's your job.
Okay. So how's that going so far, David, right?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm getting a lot of feedback regarding you meddling in relationships.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot
meddling's
of,
not a great word, but setting people up, you know.
Well, I don't know. Like I guess last year, like, did you feel that was effective, like, in terms of, like, I don't know, like a percentage of what worked and didn't work, you feel like we did a great job there, or could we do better?
Well,
room for
tough.
Improvement or growth?
There's always room for improvement, but I would think the statistics, you know, are 1 out of 3 of the couples that met on stage are still dating, you know, and
so
they,
like
they
it
haven't
be,
made it to the finish line. But
so like,
you know,
so you're comfortable with like a 1 out of 3 ratio. So like,
that's pretty
like
good.
If I were driving my car today. Like, maybe if I had, like, a 1 out of 3 ratio of getting in my car and driving and not being in a vehicular incident or accident,
that's,
like, that would be good odds.
That's okay. I
and
mean, what about songwriting? What about songwriting? You said you're interested in songwriting. I mean, have you written any songs? And they all been amazing? Or are you? What's your batting average?
It's about 1 out of 3. Like, it's less than that, okay? I'm sorry. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do my job better, and that's I don't know, man. You gave me this job, so are
well,
we?
Gonna, we're
are we
we're honestly
to, are we going to try to connect people relationally again this next year, or was that like a we tried that and man, that was awkward? You're like, man, I don't know. Maybe we got a couple together for life. I don't know. I don't know what you're wanting to do. I want to know your vision. for where we're going as a conference?
That's a great question. Is the world wanting to know that? I mean, is this on record or what?
Time after time, when I'm going through this survey that you've given me, they're like, all of this is completely irrelevant. I don't care about Chris Thomas' set list. I just want to know, can I get a date?
I mean, there's a lot of people that come to Passion that are single and ready to mingle. That is proven. And, you know, a lot of even leaders, you know, that are showing up bringing college students are still in that single zone. So maybe we should shift it and kind of do a more like speed dating thing with all the leaders. And, you know, they're all, you know, Jesus followers. And maybe we should do a wedding at Passion, you know, and just get a bunch of them married.
So what you're saying is this year, is there going to be a wedding in all three locations or just like one?
Oh, no. See, all the arenas have the same experience, so there would be a wedding in each one.
A wedding in each one. So that's amazing.
Do I get to come back to Passion this year, or were they calling, having you call me to say it? Since I went with the blind date thing and it kind of ruined the spirit of what the conference is all about, I'm done.
No, I think you're reading way too much into this.
Okay.
This was just, you know, like how I send you text messages all the time and like leave all the voicemails and you won't ever call me back. I thought maybe if I had like the people you work with on a professional level set us up a phone call under the guise of work, that then maybe I could talk to you.
Do we need to have some counseling around that? I'm so sorry, that one text I didn't respond to. I'm so sorry. Just really busy.
Is it, you mean the one text thread where it's just me and there's nothing from you? Like, all I have is like green and blue on my side, no white.
David, I'm so sorry. I don't know if you necessarily want to come open with your pain and your hurt and, you know, to the Worldwide Passion Podcast audience, but I am going on record to say I apologize. I'm so sorry.
I don't know why you think this is a podcast. Is that how they set this up? You think this is a podcast?
Well, you've never called me in your life, so I feel like something's up, you know?
Oh, okay. It's a good point. You're hitting one out of three, buddy. Hey, Brad, thank you, man.
What would it take for you to sing Bad Blood at conference? At Patrick 2016.
If Chris Tomlin will sing America, I will sing Bad Blood.
Will you sing a Taylor Swift song right now? I mean, you called me average. Sing a Taylor Swift song right now.
I don't see the corollary there. It feels like you're, like, not making any sense at all right now.
I think it would
really
let my heart.
You're making me question all of your abilities regarding matchmaking. And
I think it would bless my heart, and it would just make me feel better about our friendship if you would just sing a little Taylor Swift for me right now.
All right. If I sing the chorus to Shake It Off, do you want me to do the repeats of, like, shake, 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 or do you want me to just do, like, the Ryan Adams version? We just go, man, I want to shake. Just do the shake, one shake, or like, multiple
no,
shakes.
No, Taylor Swift version, not
shake,
Ryan
shake,
Adams.
Shake. And do you want me to do the down, Phil?
No, one,
I'm
the
sorry,
whole thing, Taylor Swift version.
I think we're breaking up.
You got this, David. You got this.
I think we're breaking
this. Would mean so much to me. My birthday was yesterday. I didn't
Brad,
get a text
are you
from
there?
You either. And so I think it would be awesome if you could sing that for me really quickly.
I can't hear him. Can we? And I can't hear Brad.
People are going to be so disappointed.
Well, 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 I guess thank you is involved to Mr. Crowder. Was not expecting him to call me the other day, but... And you never know what direction it's going to go when you talk to Crowder on the phone. It hadn't happened to me a lot in life, but that man, one of a kind. So thank you so much, David. And look out, people, for more phone calls from Crowder. You never know if he's going to call you. But really, we have an amazing treat for you on today's podcast. A classic talk from the Passion Movement, all the way back from Passion 2006. It's called Passion, Purpose, and Designer Jeans. It's a talk from Louis that has been the core of our movement, one of the messages that no matter what you do, do it all for the glory of God, straight out of Colossians 3:23. And so just encourage you to just dive in. It's going to be a great listen for you down the road on your way to class, sitting on the train, riding the bus, and we'll be back after this talk.
Our heartbeat is to see the campuses of this nation awaken to the glory of God. And that's not going to happen because there are 18,000 people in this building. It's only going to happen when somebody lives a life that they can see, that they can touch, that they can observe. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be flawless. It doesn't have to be, you know, this nice little tidy Christian life. It just has to be authentic and vibrant and real. There has to be a light on inside, and they have to be able to see something going on in you and in me that causes them eventually to do the thing that freaks us all out, which is, how do I share my faith with somebody? You know, how do you do that? It's simple. Just ask God to switch a light on inside of you. And I promise you, people who are living in darkness eventually will be drawn to your light. And at some point, they're going to ask you the question, what is your deal? And in that moment, you're going to be able to say to them, and hopefully a relational, semi-conversational, normal kind of way, it's amazing. It's God. He's at work in me. If they ask another question, you might want to answer that question. They may follow up with, what do you mean God's working in you? And you're able to tell them the story of God. And that's glorious. That's the glorious coming of God to your campus. It's not this big, huge wow moment that happens. It's this relational thing that happens when somebody sees that God is actually changing you and changing me. And so we want to send you back today. We're not trying to send you out to Africa today. Hopefully you'll go to Africa at some point. Everyone should, in my opinion. We're not trying to necessarily just send you out on a two-week trip or a summer mission adventure or even to a lifetime of sacrifice in the hardest places of the world, because that's not where you're going when you leave Nashville today. You're going home. And when you go home, you're going to tidy up all your belongings and put them in the back of the Honda, and you're going to drive back to the campus that you came from and move back into the apartment. And that's where you're going to live in about 6 days from now. And that's where we want passion to start, right then and there. And we're sending you out today to where you came from, asking God to make a difference there for His name. And if He can't do that, I say we stop. I say we're done. I say we're finished. I say we don't need to go to Africa, and we don't need to go to any other nations. That's our first calling. And you will be my witnesses. Where? Here. Right here in Jerusalem. Right here on home turf. Right here among the family. Right here among the work associates. Right in this place. That's where it always starts. It always starts right here. Then it moves out to the suburbs, and then it goes to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's what we're praying for today. And as you go, we want to inspire you. You may have felt in your heart a passion, and we want to rally around that today. There may be something inside of you that's just churning inside of you, and it's not really to be a missionary per se, or a church planter, or a preacher, or a Bible teacher, or a worship leader, or a professional ministry type person. There's something stirring in your heart. It's been in there for a long time. It's a crazy idea, and you may be just sitting on that thing for a while going, I don't know. This is what I really have a heart for, and this is what I really have a passion for, but I see all these Christian leaders, you know, pastors and teachers and worship leaders and songwriters and church planners and missionaries, and that looks like the top level stuff. And my passion over here, I'm not even sure I can say it out loud, because I got friends going, I feel called into ministry. And I'm like, really? Wow. And I have other friends saying, God's call on my life. I'm going to be a pastor. And you're like, cool. And you're sitting over here going, I really, 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 really want to have my own clothing line. You guys know what I'm talking about. You men know what I'm talking about. It's that thing inside of saying, I just want my own fashion line. Some of you guys have got to get fashion, A, and then get a fashion line. And you're thinking in your head the whole time, we're in a family group. Well, what's God doing in your heart? Oh, man, I'm going to go to the unreached peoples of the world. Oh, wow, that's cool. I'm going to go to the hard places. I'm moving to Boston. Wow, that's cool. And it gets around to you, and you're like, I'm still praying about it. Because you're not going to say, I'm thinking high-end designer niche boutique jeans. That's what I'm feeling. Oh, wow. Don't hurt yourself. Don't knock yourself out. My goodness, you can't possibly be serious. We're talking about a mission here. We're talking about a whole world here that needs to know about Jesus. We're talking about getting on board with a movement, and you're talking about blue jeans? Can I just see a show of hands, by the way, if you own a pair? Now, go ahead. Somebody's going to make them, and somebody's going to sell them. And some of us are going to talk about them and save up our nickels and dimes to get some. And maybe one of you in this building today has, you stay up at night thinking about jeans. And you wake up in the morning thinking about jeans. Every now and then you turn over in the back of your journal and you start sketching jeans. You're into fabrics. You like to go around and feel the different jean fabrics, the different kinds of cotton brush. You're thinking about different washes. You're already kind of got the little micro business thing going. You're thinking about the whole thing. You can see your first boutique store. You can see how, you know, how it's going to start to spread into grassroots. And eventually, you're looking at me, most of you right now, going, you are absolutely out of your mind. And there's somebody in this building right now, and your heart is beating about 5,000 miles an hour. And you're going, you have got to be kidding me. I got it for you right here. I got your freedom right here. I love it. It's the third chapter of Colossians. It's coming down to the end of a great story about the community that we live in, a faith, which I'll talk about briefly in a minute. But it comes down to verse 17. And listen to what Paul writes. And whatever you do, why don't you just say those four words with me? And whatever you do, in case you didn't get the first four words, he amplifies in word or deed. Okay, that's fairly comprehensive right there. That's all skate right there. That's everybody's in at that point. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, here's the main thing. So he doesn't stop on the whatever part and say, now let's talk about what you're going to do. Come on, let's talk about what you're going to do. You're going to do what? No, he doesn't. He just moves right past that. And he says, whatever you do, because you are wired with many different kinds of passions, skills, abilities, leanings, inclinations, giftings. You've got crazy stuff going on inside of you. Maybe the best architect of our generation is sitting in this building today. Maybe people are going to come and photograph your buildings and put them on postcards and put them on the front of architecture books and marvel and stare and wonder. And when they come to a city, they're going to go, I tell you one thing we're going to do. We're going to go see that building because it's absolutely amazing. And you have a passion for that. It's what wires you up. And you hear sometimes around the corner, well, you know, worship leader, church planner. I want to be a Bible study teacher. I want to be a ministry leader. I want to be this and this and this and this. And you're just thinking, buildings, man, buildings. That's all I know is buildings. All I know is cool lines and happening angles and amazing engineering, and I can see it, and I want to build one. I mean, a big one, and I want to build the kind that make people's heads spin around and are fabulous. Hey, I say that seems to fit into whatever to me. You want to be a filmmaker? Seems like everybody wants to be a filmmaker right now. I got iMovie. I'm making films. Do you want to be a business leader? Do you have a heart passion for education? What do you want to do? What do you want to do that's so crazy? But yet you're so crazy about it, and you seem to be pretty good at it. There seems to be a leaning in your heart toward it. that you're afraid maybe no one else would fully understand it. Or maybe there's something in the kingdom of God where there's this division between the sacred over here and the secular over here, and the sacred people are the people that work for God, and the secular people are the people that have to go over here and figure out how to live in culture. What we're saying today, there is no division between the sacred and the secular. It's just sons and daughters of God with one mission, which is to glorify God with their lives in wherever they are and whatever they do, and in the way they do it, how they do it. He's saying, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all. Now, I love that phrase Paul uses. He is saying, come on with it. Whatever, here's not an option. Here's what isn't an option. Do not half-heartedly do anything, whatever you do, whether you're a pastor or whether you're a stock trader over here, don't do it half-heartedly. Do it all. Come on with everything you've got in word and in deed, all the gifts, all the vision, all the passion, all the inklings that are inside of you, bring it all full on. And then he comes down to where we live in this passion world, this passion movement. He says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now that's purpose right there. That's transcendent. Your building, which we're going to marvel at, and I happen to really love architecture, so I'm probably going to just stand there and go right on to that, man. Passion Kid made that building, man. I feel like I had something to do with that. I'm just going to stand here and enjoy this moment. Wow, praise God. But when that building's coming down. That building, no matter how great it is coming down, because the story here is that we're going to a cataclysmic conclusion, and this earth, which is corrupted and broken and fallen apart, is going to be destroyed, and God's going to create a whole new place for us. So your building's coming down. So work as hard as you can to build it. Just remember why you're building it. It's coming down. Oh, design your jeans. Go crazy. I'm not so sure we're going to be styling them in heaven. I don't know. Not sure. But before we get there, they'll probably go out of style. So you got to know that ahead of time. So if your passion becomes your purpose, then you're sunk. And that's the danger. Some people will get really free. There goes part of Colossians right now. Some people will get really free by that thing of saying, man, I love this because my passion is over here in this area, and I'm just going to go run for it now. But if your passion becomes your purpose, then at the end of a building or a pair of jeans or a film or whatever it is that you do, you're done. But if your passion has a greater purpose, and the purpose outlives your passion, and your building has a bigger purpose, and your film has a bigger purpose, and your architecture has a bigger purpose, then you're on the right track, because your life is going to last way beyond time and space and everything we've seen. And he says, that's what this is all about. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, comma, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, that's an important phrase. I don't know if we'll get to it this morning, but it basically is meaning a heart of humble gratitude to say, thank you, God, for awakening me to life, for wiring me with all these incredible gifts and abilities. They have all come from you. Everything I've got, all the thoughts, the brain, the energy, everything, it's all coming from you anyway. If I build a building, frankly, you're going to build a building. And people might look at me and say, you built a great building. I go, yeah, I sure did, with a brain that I got from God. I mean, that's humble gratitude. And it's always the thing that leads us to keep giving thanks to God, our Father, as we go and live out this purpose, this passion that's inside of us for his name. I don't think, and this is just me personally, let's go back to the designer jeans for a minute. Is there anybody just wants to bear witness to that, or should we just move on from that? Any designer jean crazy person here? All right, that's good. That makes me feel a little better. I don't know if the jeans have to have a subliminal tag on them in the back that if you are standing in a mirror and you look back, the tag reads in reverse and says John 3:16. Because you're going, I got to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So somewhere on the hem underneath on every pair, right up in here, is a little thing in here where there's a little scripture reference in there that nobody hardly ever sees. Because I got to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. No. How do you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus? How do you make jeans in Jesus' name without writing scripture verses on the back pockets or putting a fish on the little pocket on the front or some little subliminal message somewhere? We prayed over the thread before we put it down the seam. That might not be a bad idea after all. How do you do it? I don't know. I've never made any jeans. But I have an idea that it goes something like this. You make the best jeans that can possibly be made. A. You don't do any half-hearted jeans. I'm just going to come out with this and let it be. You don't do any, we're Christians and we do a lot of stuff half-hearted jeans. You go make the most excellent jeans that you personally can muster. Asking God to inspire this passion and inspire this vision to awaken in you by the life of Jesus Christ. Amazing creativity. You work hard. You are diligent. You are, if you're in fashion school, you are in class, you are paying attention, you are absorbing in your internship, you are humble, not proud, you are learning, not teaching, you are absorbing everything you can, you are serving in every way you can, you are going to every opportunity to get trained, to hone your skill, to develop your passion, to get more experience so that you can do the very, 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 very best thing possible when you make your jeans. That's step one. Let's just assume that you make some happening jeans and you got a little business going on. It starts out in your garage, but all of a sudden it turns into an enterprise because the internet's crazy and people want your jeans and you're going nuts and you're selling jeans like, I'll get out. And now you're starting to put cash in the bank. Imagine that thought. Can you just imagine that thought with me for a minute this morning? You are banking cash. What are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to do what everybody does that has a great idea and comes up with a great, excellent thing and starts cashing in on it. I'm just going to pile up all my money. And in that moment, you're... passion became your purpose. But what if you said, with the money that we make from our designer jeans, this part of it instantaneously goes to an unreached people group somewhere in the world. There's one that's in our heart. We've linked up with them. We go a couple times every year or two to serve in that area. They don't wear jeans where we go, so they don't really care about us. We go, hey, we make cool jeans. And they go, yeah, well, cool, cool. We go naked, and so it doesn't really matter to them. And so they don't care about who we are. We say, no, we're happening. We're fashion. You know, we're big time. They go, oh, great, cool. Can you help me build this well? And you go, yeah, I can. Okay, let me get helping you build the well. You're linked up to these people. You know about mission agencies that are working among this people group. You're trying to help fund things that God's doing there. And I mean, you guys are, money's coming in. It's coming in. You've done well. You have achieved your purpose. Money's coming in. And you're just chopping it off the top. And you're investing it directly into this people group. And that's just a part of life for you. It's not anything you're trying to get credit for. You're not asking the media to pick up on it. You're not even asking the Christian media to pick up on it. It's just you taking what God is putting in your hands and putting it to work in the kingdom of God, because you don't maybe need all that money. And then God's blessing you more if you do that. And so you're taking some of the other money and figuring out how to make better jeans and taking some of the other money and paying your employees and doing all the things you got to do to run a business. But you are investing in the kingdom so that when you get to heaven, there's some people there that don't speak your language and never wore your jeans. and they're looking for you in heaven. They found out that you were the person who sponsored the missionaries, who planted the church, who came to their town or village and preached the gospel to them. You were the one who provided the water. You were the one who provided the meals. You were the one who built the orphanage. You were the one who put a micro business in their town. You were the one who won all of them to the party, and they're roaming through the party looking for you. And finally they see you and they go, "You're the jeans guy?" And you go, "Yeah, I'm the jeans guy." And they come, an army of them, to you and surround you and start rejoicing with you and going, "Thank you for your jeans. Thank you for your jeans. Because of your jeans, we are at this party. Praise God." And in that moment, that's where your purpose was greater than your passion in that moment. And I'll tell you how else you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You run a fair business. You treat your employees fairly and, if possible, generously. And you do everything you do as you deal with every person you deal with in such a way that it would have been the same as if Christ had been in that environment. And you reflect to them the very life of Jesus. Now, here's my adding on to this. Some people say that's enough. I'm not sure. I'm not sure everybody's smart enough to connect all the dots. And so at some point, when you win influence with one of your vendors or one of the sales reps or one of the stores that's carrying your stuff, and you show up at the store and they're like, "Oh my gosh, man, your stuff's flying out the store. We've never had anything like this before. It's a runaway train. I mean, it's just nuts." And you know you've won them because of excellence, and you have won the right to influence their life because they're now esteeming you because of what you have provided for them. And you know that you've got a moment and space to both touch their life in Jesus' name, which may mean just stopping to say, "How can I pray for you?" or "What's going on in your family?" or "How can I come around what's going on in your life?" And an opportunity to say to them, "You know, this whole thing has been crazy from the beginning. And I just got to tell you so you'll know, it's all been inspired by the Creator of the universe. And He has given to me His life through Jesus Christ. And everything we've done with this whole genes craziness has all come from Him." And in that moment, it's not very likely that they're going to say, "Oh, I don't want to hear about what's going on in your life and how all this happened." They're going to go, and it's going to give you that moment. See, that's what's going to win the world. I don't think preachers are going to win the world.
You know, it's amazing how some of these messages have legs, and, you know, you give a talk and you never know exactly what's going to happen. But when we were in South Africa just a few weeks ago, I was talking to a young guy there, and he said the turning point for my life, and he's not in ministry, not church planner, he's in industry. So the turning point for me, Passion 2006 message, passion, purpose, and designer jeans. And so I hope you got encouraged by that today. I know it encourages me every time to think about it. It's not what you do, it's why you do it. And that's the hope of Passion and the Passion Podcast today. That's our message. We're not about events. We're about a viewpoint, a change of mind, a change of thinking. And so whatever you're about today, great, go for it. Be excellent at it. Do it with all your heart, but do it in such a way that it reflects the Creator who gave you those gifts, who inspired you and gave you the opportunity that you have. That way, whatever you do, you can ensure that what you do will last and will matter for what matters most. Passion 2016, it's getting closer. It's hard to imagine. It's just a little over 1 month away. Invite somebody. I heard a story today, Brad, that university age young people in our church are buying registrations for other college students and gifting them to their friends who can't afford to come to Passion, when poor college students are providing scholarships for other college students. You know something good is happening, and there must be something worthwhile going on in the Toyota Center, Phillips Arena, Infinite Energy Arena, three arenas, two cities, but just one gathering and no overflow. So get a ticket today. We look forward to seeing you. We'll be back soon on the Passion Podcast.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, and fry a good turkey, people.